Don't worry about anything but in everything by prayer and petition. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker, who invites you to look with us in the Word of God in the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 6, beginning at verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end, with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints, and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I'm an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak, boldly as I ought to speak. Verses 10 through 20, Ephesians chapter 6. Father, once again, thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for the fact that your word is the sword of the Spirit, amongst other things, a powerful weapon, that as we learn to use it skillfully, that we become more and more the able warriors in the battles that we find ourselves in every day, warriors that are able to go forward to both be on offense and defense in the kingdom of God. Help us, Lord, more and more to be the prayer warriors you've called us to be, accomplishing your will as we take time to dwell in our prayer closet and live a lifestyle in the prayer mode all the time. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thank you again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Again, I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. Let me remind you once again, our email is jparker@afa.net. Again, jparker@afa.net. And I want to say this to persons that listen in and you've emailed us about the prayer tools and are not getting them. For some reason, from time to time, some email seems to keep bouncing back. So get in touch with us because we want to get you the prayer tools because they're great tools to help you to jumpstart your prayer life and to strengthen you in that area for your individual life, in the life of your family, the discipleship life of your family as well. But also they're tools we want you to forward to other believers as well. So again, the email is jparker@afa.net. But if you've been trying to get them, and one or more persons have, and again, your email just keeps bouncing back for some reason. So the no phone number as well is 662-844-5036, extension 381. We want to get them to you, so please keep trying until you get through one way or another. Our website is afr.net. Again, that's afr.net. I want to encourage you to take time to go to the website, and you can see the different broadcasts and the podcast for the broadcast as well that are available. I would encourage you to do that. And also, please do download the AFR app as well. But you can see the different podcasts. If you miss a broadcast, you can go back and listen. Or if there's one you need to hear two or three times because the Holy Spirit's speaking to you and encouraging you through it more and more, you'll hope you'll take time to do that. So going to the website will help you see what all the broadcasts are on the network. And if you want to hit listen back again to this broadcast today or any other day of the Hour of Intercession, you can certainly do that. I always stay up to date in the latest in our culture war from the One News Now team of One News Now. You can use the One News Now mobile app as well. It neatly categorizes news and articles from the One News Now website in an easy-to-find format. Keep in mind, also, you can download the One News Now mobile app to take it with you anywhere you may go, and it's free. So you can download it from your phone's app store. Hope you'll take time to do that. We are blessed and honored to have as our phone guest today, Dr. Frank Wright. He's the president of D. James Kennedy Ministries. And we're grateful that he's going to share about the ministry, but also just a particular project they're involved with as well. Dr. Wright, how are you today?
Pastor Joseph, I'm doing very well. Thanks for having me on your program.
Thank you for taking the time. I know you've got plenty to do, so I appreciate you taking the time to be with us. If you would take a moment to further introduce yourself and tell our listeners about the work and the mission of D. James Kennedy Ministries.
Well, D. James Kennedy Ministries is a multimedia media production organization based in Fort Lauderdale, founded 45 years ago by Dr. Kennedy. We produce radio and television programs, and as well as digital and print production resources. Dr. Kennedy's focus has always been, maybe a good way to say it would be to use a metaphor that he has often used in the past, as it relates to the purpose of the church. Dr. Kennedy used to say that Jesus established his church like a great train to run on two parallel rails. Both rails pointed at the kingdom of God. The first rail is the Great Commission, in which we're commanded to be witnesses for Christ, to preach the gospel to every creature, to make disciples of all nations. And that Great Commission, of course, has eternal consequences. Men and women, boys and girls, have their destiny determined by what they do with the person of Jesus Christ and whether or not they have a relationship with him.
Mm-hmm.
The second rail in Dr. Kennedy's metaphor is what's called the cultural mandate, which is found in Genesis chapter 1, verse 28, where God says to Adam and Eve, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and have dominion over it, and rule over the birds of the air and the fish of the sea and over every living creature."
Mm-hmm.
This is the extraordinary command where God delegates the authority to rule over his creation. God delegates his sovereign authority to mankind to rule in his place.
Mm-hmm.
And we're to do it with the mind of Christ, and we're to do it and rule in a way that would bring honor and glory to God. What that means in our day is that every one of us should be engaged in sharing Christ with others. We ought to be equipped to explain the gospel to someone else.
Mm-hmm.
But we also need to be engaged in the world around us. And this is the history of the Christian church since the earliest days. When the church was first founded, it was the Christians who went outside the city walls at night and picked up the abandoned babies. That was how you got rid of a baby you didn't want in antiquity. You took it outside the city walls at night and left it for it to die of exposure or worse in the jaws of some animal. And the Christians went outside the city wall because they believed that man was made in the image of God, and that these little, they called them foundlings. Some people remember the idea of a foundling home.
Mm-hmm.
And the Christians established some of the first hospitals and the first schools. The Christians engaged the world around them so much so that what we call Western civilization today has an undeniable Christian influence, as does the founding of America. So to bring all that into a capsule form, I guess you would say our ministry focuses on equipping believers to apply the Word of God to the great moral, cultural, and ethical questions of our day. God is still sovereign. He's still seated on his throne. Jesus is still building his church. And his people are still to engage the world around them with the gospel of Christ and with the mind of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is something that is fully embraced by the American Family Association in all of its many forms of engaging the world around us. And it's one that Dr. Kennedy and Dr. Wildman shared a common vision for.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, as we start, Frank, I'm going to ask if you'll take a moment specifically to pray for believers to grasp that, you know, you said a lot in just a moment there, but just very simply, you're challenging, amongst other things, believers to recognize God wants to use all of us in the wonderful work of evangelism, discipleship, and being salt and light into the world. Would you pray for believers to really grasp that each of us has a part and we need to hear God to understand how to live that out?
Let's do that. Father, we thank you that you've called us from out of darkness to walk in your marvelous light, that you've called us by name, and you've called us individually to reflect Christ and him crucified and to bring glory to your great and glorious name through our lives and through the fulfilling of the calling that you've given each one of us. And Lord, we remember today that you've called us to be your own. You've adopted us as sons and daughters of the King, and that our calling is to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to the ends of the earth.
Yes, Lord.
And to love our neighbors as ourselves. Mm. And help us, Lord, to be mindful that we love our neighbors best.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
By seeking their welfare,
yes,
in
Lord
the
Jesus.
Institutions of our culture, in the ways in which we engage with our neighbors, and the ways in which we can serve them and bless them.
Yes, Lord
Remind
Jesus.
Us today that we are yours, that we owe you our very selves, that you've called us and didn't call us straight to heaven when we came to know Christ. You've called us to be yours, and you've left us here to make a difference for Christ in the world. Help us to do that to the glory of your own great name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Frank. Appreciate that. Frank, before we further talk about the work and the mission of D. James Kennedy Ministries, I want to ask if you share about just a news item that you all, a matter that you all have been in the news about. You all are dealing with a lawsuit against the Southern Poverty Law Center. Would you share with the listeners what that's all about?
Well, for those who don't know much about the Southern Poverty Law Center, it was born in the early 1970s, 1971, in fact, in the latter days of the civil rights movement. And they, quite frankly, did some great work in trying to sue the Ku Klux Klan and other groups that were denying civil rights to all Americans. Mm-hmm. And they also did some good work in trying to extend the civil rights laws that were passed at the federal level back in the 1960s to extend that work at the state and local level. So the Southern Poverty Law Center had a great beginning. But somewhere along the way, they have lost their moral compass. And today, while they still talk about hate groups like the Ku Klux Klan and the neo-Nazis and the Aryan Nation and these others, today they have created what they call their hate map, and they have placed on it anyone who departs from a left-wing political agenda. So if you're a group that thinks we should have strong borders, you're a hate group. If you're a group that thinks that a child in the womb is precious, made in the image of God, and should be defended, and you're against abortion, you're a hate group. If you're someone who believes the Bible teaches that marriage is between one man and one woman, you're a hate group. Mm-hmm. The entire left-wing political agenda is used to label well-meaning groups who do wonderful works of service, nonprofit organizations for the most part, to label them as haters in an effort to silence them. In fact, the American Family Association is also on the hate map of the Southern Poverty Law Center. So 2 years ago, we felt like enough was enough, and we sued the Southern Poverty Law Center in federal district court. And our case went to court at the federal courthouse in Montgomery, Alabama, and recently the court handed down its first ruling on this. And it was not a favorable ruling for us in terms of what we were trying to accomplish. In fact, we've now appealed their decision to the 11th Circuit Court of Appeals in Atlanta, Georgia. But we did get what we think was some support from the judge in this respect. The federal judge, Myron Thompson, ruled that the Southern Poverty Law Center's definition of hate was so vague and so meaningless that it could not be proved either true or false that
Frank,
someone belonged on such a hate map.
I'm going to have to jump in
and
here. We'll pick up on the other side with this break. Our phone guest today is Dr. Frank Wright. He's the president of D. James Kennedy Ministries. We'll be right back.
Rejoice and
music of Covenant Church, the song I Will Lift Up My Eyes. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our phone guest today is Dr. Frank Wright. He's the president of D. James Kennedy Ministries. And Dr. Wright, we had to interrupt you at that point, but you were sharing about how the judge's ruling actually, in a sense, helped to further define and give you some momentum. Would you pick up where you left off there?
Sure. Well, the judge dismissed our case, so we've had to appeal it. But in his ruling, he wrote a 143-page opinion, so he gave it a lot of thought and a lot of effort. In his ruling, he said, the reason I'm dismissing your claim of defamation is it can't be proved based on the definition that the Southern Poverty Law Center uses. He said that the definition the Southern Poverty Law Center has for its hate map is so vague and so meaningless that it can't be proved either true or false. Now, this stands in contrast to the way the SPLC is regarded, particularly by liberal organizations, often by, in the past at least, by some law enforcement entities. They are treated as though their hate map is a legitimate description of hate groups. And everybody knows, in sort of the common man understanding of hate group, is a violent group that wants to do harm to other people. But what the Southern Poverty Law Center has done is thrown about 45 Christian organizations onto the hate map, who, if they were to do violence, would be violating the teachings of Jesus Christ. We're to love our enemies. We don't hate anybody. Mm-hmm. And yet they've put us on the hate map. And Pastor Joseph, I think they put us on the hate map for three reasons. Mm-hmm. The first is they want to marginalize Christian speech and Christian teaching and make it seem like it's outside the mainstream of public thought. And in some ways, the gospel has always been outside the mainstream. It's very countercultural to what people believe about their relationship to God. Mm-hmm. But they try to first marginalize groups that don't have share their same opinions. And then secondly, with the hate map, they're trying to demonize us. They're trying to make us seem as though that we're evil somehow. By the way, this is a huge change in the cultural argument over the last, even just the last 30 years. Mm-hmm. Going back, just decades, the principal argument against Christianity by unbelievers was simply that it's not true, that the Bible's not true, that Jesus didn't rise from the dead. They don't use that argument anymore. They don't say that Christianity is untrue. In these days, the left says Christianity is evil, that what we do and what we represent is evil itself. Now, that's a fascinating thing when you think about it. Mm-hmm. Evil implies some definition or some understanding of what's good and evil, mm-hmm. and some standard, and they don't say what their standard is. We know that the standard for good and evil is found in the Scriptures. Mm-hmm. But they just try to label us as a hate group in order to keep us quiet, and they're moving in the direction of not just marginalization and not just demonization, but criminalization. They would like to see that the speech of those who believe that marriage is between one man and one woman is illegal. They want to label it hate speech so that you can be prohibited from saying it. They want the strong arm of government to stop Christians from being faithful for what they know to be true biblically.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so in other words, they've weaponized themselves against Christian ministries in the kingdom of God, more or less.
Well, that's a good way to say it. I would say it another colorful way. I would say the Southern Poverty Law Center today is no longer a civil rights organization. Mm-hmm. It's a collection of reputational terrorists. Mm-hmm. They're just trying to destroy the reputation of groups that they don't agree with as an effort to silence them. Mm-hmm. And so weaponize is a very good term. It's an effort to make Christianity so far outside the mainstream that people will not even give it credence to be heard.
Mm. And, you know, Frank, I think of this, too, that, like, it's a reminder, too, of the fact that absolutely everything we do in the world today is spiritual warfare. And I think as believers, it's critical that we see things through the lens of seeing it as being spiritual warfare from a biblical perspective, too. And how would you ask listeners to pray specifically for the ministry of D. James Kennedy Ministries as you're addressing this lawsuit concern?
Well, the scripture makes it clear that the weapons of our warfare are not fleshly weapons, they're spiritual weapons, and that the great battles of our time are being fought in the heavenlies. Mm-hmm. And yet, we're also called to be faithful, to do what we can where we are, to stand for truth. It was, the name escapes me right now, but there was the monk Telemachus who went into the arena in the 4th century A.D. Mm-hmm. and stood between the gladiators and the Christians and said, "Stop, in the name of Christ, forbear." And they killed him in the arena. But so distasteful was that act that that's the last known gladiatorial contest in the Roman arena. So Christians have a responsibility to pray that the Spirit of God would support what he's called us to do in the heavenlies. Mm-hmm. And pray for the power of God to be shown, and pray for a spirit of confusion to be sent to the enemy. Mm-hmm. In our time, in our cultural warfare, I think that's the foremost prayer to mm-hmm. pray, that God would send a spirit of confusion to the enemy, mm-hmm. because it's in that confusion that the truth can be made manifest. As it relates to our ministry, you know, we're just trying to be faithful to the Word of God. And so we would pray, we would ask for people to pray that we would have holy boldness to rely upon the Spirit, but holy boldness to be faithful in proclaiming Christ and Him crucified, in proclaiming the truth of what the Bible says about the world around us today, to be those who are ready and faithful to shine the light of truth in dark places, to expose the deeds of darkness. Mm-hmm. Part of Satan's methodology is to allow the things that are done, these things that are done, to be done in darkness, so that they're not opposed by the light, and so that we would be faithful to that end is our greatest prayer request.
Okay. Okay. Also, I want to ask Frank: would you take a moment specifically to pray for the church in this regard, and it relates to what you've just shared? That every single listener and that the church as a whole more and more would see that it's all of our job to get involved with, to get out on the battlefield, to do our part, to be witnesses, sharing the gospel, discipling others, being salt and light in places and being bold witnesses, just like you alluded to Telemachus, who died in the gladiator, you know, theater there. But the fact is God used him to help end that tragedy. And sometimes we may think, well, what difference can one person make? One person can make all the difference in the world when they're in the hands of the Holy Spirit. So would you pray for believers to see the need for all of us to get involved?
Father, we thank you and are reminded today of one of the great statements of faith in the Christian church, which tells us that the chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. And we pray, Father, that you would give us opportunity to glorify you in our speech, in our worship, in our ministry to those who are in need, in our loving our neighbors, but that you would help us also to glorify you by standing for truth, that you would point out to us the opportunities that are before us for us to stand for truth, your truth. Jesus said, "This is eternal life, that you know the one true God and Jesus Christ whom he has sent." And he prayed in his high priestly prayer that you, Father, would sanctify us with the truth. And then Jesus went on to say, "Thy word is truth." And so, Father, remind us that the word of God is the truth of the Almighty entrusted to your people, and help us to be faithful to hold fast to the truth, to stand for it, to minister when it's not popular to minister, to name the name of Christ in front of people who don't believe in him, to quote scripture to others, because it's the word of God that accomplishes your purpose, Father, in the world around us. Lord, we are so unworthy to be called children of the living God, and yet by faith in Jesus, you call us your children, your adopted sons and daughters, and you empower us by your Spirit to do everything you've called us to do. Give us grace, Father, to want to do the will of God. Give us strength to do it as you make it clear to us. And give us total reliance on the Holy Spirit to accomplish the things you call us to do. In your name we pray.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Frank. Well, Frank, share with our listeners the website. If someone wants to learn more about the ministry of D. James Kennedy Ministries, where do they go to do that?
Well, the easiest way to find us is at DJKM. The letters DJKM, standing for D. James Kennedy Ministries, DJKM.org. And there you will find our media site, our website, and all the resources that we have and make available. You can access our programming. We publish, we syndicate two different programs. Truths That Transform is our weekly program that can be found on the Lifetime Network on every cable system in America, Sunday mornings at 7:30. Not everybody has cable, however, so you can watch all of our television programs on our website. You can also subscribe to our email distribution in which we send out portions of our program each week so that people can watch them in their homes. We are also available on Roku for those that have that device, on Apple TV, other media resources that you can get. And we are available on DirecTV, which is the NRB television network on DirecTV, which is in 30 million households. And you can find our programming there as well. Truths That Transform and the Coral Ridge Hour, which contains the teaching ministry of Dr. Kennedy.
Okay. All right. Well, you know, two things that come to my mind of my knowledge of the ministry is you just mentioned the program. Truths That Transform is one that, and for years I heard Dr. Kennedy preach and teach on that program, but also the ministry, well, the project, I guess, called Evangelism Explosion. Can you share with our listeners what that is and what that's about?
Evangelism Explosion is the first ministry that Dr. Kennedy founded outside of the church back in the 50 years ago now, I think.
Mm-hmm.
More than 50 years ago. And it was based on his belief that the thing that keeps the church from being keeps them from being faithful witnesses is simply that they need some training in a simple outline of the gospel and in some ways to handle objections that people raise to the gospel. And so Evangelism Explosion is a church-based lay witness training ministry in which you can learn how to share the gospel conversationally with a family member, with a friend, or with someone that you meet by chance, seemingly by chance, somewhere along the way. And it's a separate organization of its own. It can be found at evangelismexplosion.org. It's such a wonderful ministry. When I was a brand new believer, I went through Evangelism Explosion training.
Mm-hmm.
I was involved in it for 16 years before I went to Washington, D.C. To work with the Center for Christian Statesmanship for Dr. Kennedy.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, Evangelism Explosion led nearly 7 million people to Christ worldwide. It's a wonderful ministry, but it does, in my opinion, it's a discipleship training ministry. And the greatest blessing, I mean, we're winning people to Christ around the world, but the greatest blessing is what it does in the heart of a believer as it gives them the confidence to be able to share their faith with someone else. We all know that we're supposed to be ready to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Peter said, always be ready to give an answer for the hope that you have to anyone who asks. And most Christians are intimidated by the idea of sharing the gospel with someone else. Evangelism Explosion training will help you become a winsome and faithful witness and be able to lead your family members, your coworkers, and people that you meet to faith in Christ.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And so you said at this point in time, that particular ministry is not connected to your immediate ministry then?
That's right. It's a separate freestanding ministry, and we are strong supporters of it.
Mm-hmm.
And we feature it on our television program once a year. But it is has its own board of directors, its own leadership structure. It's based in North Carolina. It was founded here in Fort Lauderdale. It's based in North Carolina, but is operating in every nation on the in the world. It's an amazing work of God's Spirit around the world, and even more receptivity to the gospel elsewhere than there is here in North America.
Okay. And so I guess what it would have in common is, of course, they both ministries were founded by Dr. Kennedy then, right?
Both founded by Dr. Kennedy, and both speak to that question of the kind of the two rails of the train tracks of the church, the gospel and the cultural mandate.
Right. We're going to jump in again here with a break, and we'll be right back. Our phone guest today is Dr. Frank Wright, the president of D. James Kennedy Ministries. We'll be right back. Nicole C. Mullen, When I Call on Jesus. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our phone guest today is Dr. Frank Wright. He's the president of D. James Kennedy Ministries. Frank, would you share once again with our listeners the website if listeners would like to get more information about the ministry?
Yes, you can find us and all of the resources that we produce and all of the programming that we distribute at djkm.org. And you can find our wonderful friends at Evangelism Explosion at evangelismexplosion.org as well. In fact, I think they have a shorthand. www.eeworks.org, and you can find their website and all the resources. You can find out where you can, where and how you can get trained.
Okay, okay. So now, is Evangelism Explosion? Now, of course, you just told me it's a different division, but do you happen to know, is that something any church could plug into or learn?
Yes. Okay. It's a ministry that serves the local church.
Oh, okay.
So absolutely. They are absolutely. They are there to help pastors fulfill their Ephesians 4 mandate of equipping the saints for the work of ministry.
Okay then. Well, Frank, in this last segment, I want to ask if would you share with our listeners a little bit more about the, you've shared about, of course, the D. James Kennedy Ministries and some about Evangelism Explosion, but there are a few other divisions, ministries, areas of kingdom work that Dr. Kennedy started. Would you share with our listeners a little bit more about those divisions?
Yeah, let me also tell you that we actually have three outreaches here at D. James Kennedy Ministries. We have our media outreach, which we do through D. James Kennedy Ministries, but we also have the D. James Kennedy Center for Christian Statesmanship on Capitol Hill in Washington, D.C., where we minister to Congress and have a witness for Christ on Capitol Hill. And through that ministry, we also do leadership training. We train people in biblical worldview and constitutional governance who want to run for office and try to represent Christ in public policy arenas, in elected office. In fact, we have six graduates of our training who are running for Congress next year in 2020. So through the Center for Christian Statesmanship, we do leadership training. And then the second or third area is the D. James Kennedy School of the Bible, in which people can access all of Dr. Kennedy's teaching on various subjects and learn how he communicated them so effectively, learning his sermon illustrations and his sermon outlines and all of the things that Dr. Kennedy did to reach the, you know, the broadest audience with the gospel. Mm-hmm. So we have D. James Kennedy Ministries, D. James Kennedy Center for Christian Statesmanship, and the Kennedy School of the Bible. Now, in addition to those ministries that are under the umbrella that I lead here, Dr. Kennedy founded another ministry called Knox Theological Seminary, mm-hmm. which is a training ministry for pastors who want to go into full-time pastoral ministry, and they grant degree, a Doctor of Divinity degree that most seminaries or most denominations require, not all, but most require for ordination. Mm-hmm. And so you have Evangelism Explosion, you have Knox Theological Seminary, you have the D. James Kennedy Ministries, as well as the Coral Ridge Presbyterian Church and Westminster Academy, a K-12 Christian school based here in Fort Lauderdale, that were all founded by Dr. Kennedy.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, you know, I think of this, the church, Coral Ridge Church, many years ago, way back in the 70s, date myself a little bit here, but when I was in college, we had a chance, we were on tour, I was a part of the choir, and we saw the beautiful sanctuary with that huge organ. Beautiful, beautiful, just to get a chance to both hear it and see it in operation, though. So it was just a great experience to get a chance to go through there, so... I want to ask, oh, I'm sorry, were you about to say something else?
No, that's go right ahead.
I wanted to ask you about this, too. You mentioned about Knox Theological Seminary. I want to ask, Frank, if you'll touch on this, you know, as Dr. Frank Wright, the president of D. James Kennedy Ministries, specifically, comment on this. We live in a culture today where lots of young ministers upon graduating from college go to seminary. However, seminary in our culture today can be a dangerous endeavor. Young men and women can go to seminary and come out very messed up, and that's tragic. Would you comment on why it's critical and important that you seek godly wisdom about what seminary that you go to get grounded and trained in the Word of God?
I like the way you said that. Seminaries are, in many respects, the most dangerous place in America for your spiritual health.
Mm-hmm.
Just like we sometimes say, hospitals are a great place to go to get sick because of all the secondary infections people get.
Hmm.
Even back in Dr. Kennedy's day, and I believe he went to seminary in the 1950s,
mm-hmm.
a long time ago in America, there were, at that point, liberal seminaries in America which did not believe in the authority of Scripture.
Mm-hmm.
The single thing you need to ask about any seminary that seeks your financial support, or if you're asking a question yourself about what kind of a seminary you should go to, the threshold question is always, what is their view of Scripture?
Mm-hmm.
Is it a high view of Scripture in that it's inspired and inerrant, what they call fully and verbally inspired by God? Yes, it was written by the pens of men, but do they believe that it was written under the instruction of the Holy Spirit, and that every word in it contains God's mind for us? If they have a low view of Scripture, you're in for a world of trouble if you go to study at a seminary like that.
Mm-hmm.
And sadly, those seminaries are more numerous than the biblically faithful ones.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got to be very careful with them. They're producing the kinds of pastors that come out without a firm reliance on Scripture. And so what do they rely on? They rely on the wisdom of men,
mm-hmm.
the fallible wisdom of men. And so, yes, seminaries are something that we should support, but only when we can be confident that they are biblically based and are strong on both evangelism and cultural engagement. Because I will tell you, Pastor Joseph, the biggest problem we face in America today in terms of engaging a culture that needs to hear the mind of Christ mm-hmm. is a church, the local church, that refuses to be involved in anything that they see as unspiritual. And they have bought into this false idea that the gospel is spiritual and politics or law or medicine or business or community service, those are all unspiritual things. Hmm. And so the church today doesn't even speak to the great moral and ethical questions of our time. Mm-hmm. When's the last time you heard a sermon in your church on marriage in which the pastor speaks about marriage biblically being between one man and one woman? When's the last time you've heard a sermon on the sanctity of human life? Now, there's some great churches out there that are doing that, but I will tell you, it's a classic example of the 80-20 rule. I believe 80% of the Christian churches in America, at least 80%, more like 90%, are not teaching the full counsel of God.
Hmm.
You'll remember in the book of Acts when Paul's returning to Jerusalem right before his last journey to Rome in chains, he stops at Ephesus, south of Ephesus, and asks the elders from Ephesus, the Ephesian elders, to come and meet with him at the ship. And he meets with them and he says that the Holy Spirit has told him he'll never see them again in this life. Mm-hmm. He'll never see him again in this life, and they cry because they love Paul and he loved them. And then Paul says this, "I am innocent of the blood of all men, for I have not failed to proclaim the full counsel of God."
Hmm.
That is the prescriptive problem with the Christian church in America today. It does not proclaim the full counsel of God. And so the church is not receiving the full blessing of God either, and it's not being obedient to its high and holy calling to be witnesses to Christ to the ends of the earth, and not to the ends of the earth, meaning those places where there's no politics or where there's no law or no government, to the ends of the earth, period. We're to be a witness for Christ everywhere. Paul stood before kings and proclaimed the gospel of Christ, and stood before Caesar. And so we know that what our calling is, but we don't have, in many cases, churches that are teaching that consistently in a way that is motivating people to be involved.
That's right. That's right. And, you know, I think of this too, Frank, that we look at the reality of young individuals, young men and women that choose to go to seminary and spend a lot of money to be steered in the wrong direction and to be end up being misguided tragically. So it's a very tragic picture to consider. Would you take time now specifically to pray for the church and pray for young upcoming leaders in the body of Christ to be guided into the right places for training and molding and shaping so that they can be better equipped to be the kind of leaders God would have them to be?
Father, we give you thanks that you call men and women to ministry, that you call them to serve the body of Christ. And we thank you for those you've called to be ministers of the gospel,
yes,
the men that are called to shepherd congregations. And your word tells us, Lord, that they will be held accountable,
yes,
for that duty, that responsibility that they've taken on, that they will be judged twice as hard because of their responsibility to be faithful shepherds. And yet, Jesus, you told us that there are wolves in sheep's clothing that have come into the flock and led it astray. And we pray that you, by your Spirit, Father, would take hold of the hearts of the men who should be pastoring our churches and the women who want to serve in them, and build into them such a confidence in the Word of God, such a dependence upon the Holy Spirit, that they'll be effective in that high and holy calling. Father, we pray that you would strengthen the seminaries and the Christian colleges and the Christian schools and that you would winnow out those that are not being faithful to the Word of God, and that you would strengthen those that are producing disciples of Christ who can make a difference in the world around us. Father, you have promised through the words of Christ to build your church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. We pray that you would protect and inspire and empower the men of God you've called to pastor these churches and the women of God that you've called to minister in those churches. And Lord, we ask that you would do this for the glory of your own great name. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Frank, our time is just about gone. I want to mention this too specifically. You know, the title of one of the broadcasts on your network, Truths That Transform, the broadcast that Dr. Kennedy did for so many days, for so many years in his life, it says a lot, because truth is what transforms us. Truth is what sets us free, and it makes a powerful point, even in the title of the broadcast. If someone wanted to listen to that specific broadcast, how would they do that?
If they go to djkm.org, which is our website, the home page of that website has three media players, three television sets, so to speak, and you can click on and watch right on the home page our television program, Truths That Transform. Okay. You can also watch our weekly commentary and other resources that we offer.
All right. Frank, thank you so much for being with us today on the broadcast. Really appreciate your time.
Thanks, Pastor Joseph.
All right. Thank you for being a part of our listening family. Hope that you'll take time to go to the website that Dr. Frank Wright mentioned and learn more about the great work that the ministry of D. James Kennedy Ministries is doing, Evangelism Explosion, and the others he mentioned as well. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.